I wish I could hear every person's week was, but we don't have time this morning to do that. Maybe you could line up afterwards, after the service, and just kind of give me the rundown. That would be good. Pray with me, would you, Lord? We thank you for this time together today. It's Labor Day weekend, and we're not laboring here. We're just resting in your presence. And Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us. We know you're here, actually, and Lord, we sense your presence. I pray you would stir our hearts today. And Lord, help us, God, to be open to change in our lives personally and to what you're doing. And so, God, we thank you for that. We thank you for how you change us. And Lord, we just confess now that we're willing to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you do have a note sheet if you'd like to take a few notes. That's up to you. It's in there for you to do that. I have the scriptures. I have more scriptures than I'll probably cover on the note sheet, but they're there for you to read through this week. I encourage you to do that. I was thinking, the last couple of weeks, I was thinking about a trip, a really casual, kind of spontaneous trip that Shelley and the family, we took to Spokane. Many of you do this. You head up to Spokane, say, hey, let's get away for the day and do a little shopping. You know, if you want to do any, seems like any more shopping, more options, you have to go to Spokane if you live here. There are good places to shop here. But anyway, so we did that one weekend, and it was a Saturday and or a Friday night, actually, Friday. And we went up, and we went all day, did more than we expected. You know, shopping is hard work. We wore ourselves out by the end of the day. It was like, I think we went to the movie, you know, we said, hey, let's just do it all. Let's get her done. And it was about 9:30, and honestly, I was really tired personally, and I just didn't want to drive home. And I thought, well, let's just get a room, and we'll take off early in the morning, you know, no problem, right? No problem. And so we started going. We thought, well, we called a few hotels. Sorry, we're full. We're full. We're like, wow, okay. So we kept calling. We stopped into a few. Full. What we didn't realize is there was like two major conferences there that week. I think it was a car show weekend. I mean, it was, you know, everything possible that could have happened was happening that weekend. And there was nothing. I mean, we drove by a few places, and they were conveniently nice enough to put out the sign that said, no vacancy, right? And when we'd walk into a few hotels, and they said, sorry, we're full. No room for you. And I'm like, man, this is rough. And I don't honestly remember if we even got a room. Do you remember, Shelley? I don't think we did. Did we just sleep down under the bridge or what? In a van down by the river or what? What did we do? I can't remember. I think we drove home probably, you know, wasted 2 hours looking for hotels and then drove home. Mountain Dew and no-dos. It's amazing what it'll do for you. But, you know, when you see those signs that say no vacancy, you're pretty clear that there's no vacancy. Right? The other hotels that went in didn't have those signs out. You just had to walk in, talk to the nice reception, the clerk at the desk, and they'd say, you know, we're really sorry, but we don't have any room for you. We're full. And it's interesting because I think in our lives, a lot of times, we have a sign on our lives that says, no vacancy. Or maybe vacancy. And you might say, well, what do you mean by that? Do you have those signs? Put up the first one. The no vacancy sign. Go to the, not the vacancy, no vacancy. I just wanted to give you the visual. Vacancy, go back. Thank you. No vacancy. Okay. Now, the other day, I was out walking, had my iPod in, I was right over by Pioneer Park, and I'm just cruising along, having a good time, relaxing, just getting a little exercise, but enjoying it, plugged in. And this guy, as I was walking by Pioneer Park, this guy pulls up in a car across the street. Didn't think much about it. I glanced over. He hops out of his car, and I didn't, you know, I just turned back and just kept walking, just minding my own business. And I heard something out of the corner. I just heard something. I heard something, and I'm like, what is that? And I looked over, and the guy is obviously frustrated, and I was the only one around. So I thought, is he talking to me? And so I stopped. I pulled my headphones out. And I looked over at him. This is just a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, oh, I said, were you talking to me? And he was obviously mad, frustrated. And I'm thinking, what did I do? You know? And he said, "Ah, forget it." He goes, "I'm from the South." He goes, "Most of the time, I just can't believe how unfriendly people are up here." He goes, "You say hi to somebody and they just ignore you." And I went, "Oh," I said, "I'm really sorry." I said, I plugged in. He's like, "Yeah, whatever." And he just took off. You know what the amazing thing is? I feel like I'm a fairly friendly person. You know? But you know what sign I had on that day? No vacancy. At least to that guy, that's the sign he read. And I think it's amazing how internally we can think we're available. But the message, the neon sign that's flashing on our life is no vacancy. And I'm still kind of, actually the cool thing was, is I got the guy's name. I said, "So what's your name?" You know, I did ask him that. Terry. I said, "Terry, glad to meet you." He's like, "Yeah, whatever." And he took off. I'm going to find that guy. I'm going to bake him some cookies or something. But I don't know what I should do. But anyway, you know, and in the last few weeks, we've been talking about in this series called Alien Living, how we're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of it. And we've been talking about being kingdom dwellers, that we're kingdom ambassadors. As those who dwell in the kingdom, we're not to be independent in our decisions, but we're to be kingdom dependent. And then last week, we talked about hearing his voice. And we talked from the passage from Habakkuk about how we need to withdraw enough that we can hear God and just focus on him and wait and watch and listen and then record it and hear his voice. But then at the end of that passage, it says, write it down on tablets so that you may run, actually. And I didn't go into that very much last week, but to me, part of the running is us being available, us being out there, being kingdom ambassadors wherever we're at. Being those, we're called to do that. We are ambassadors of the kingdom, aren't we? Ambassadors of the king. And as we have this relationship with him, we are his ambassadors. And so I want to look at a passage of scripture from Luke 4. And this is Jesus' resume. If Jesus had a resume, this might sum it up quite succinctly. And he's referencing back to Isaiah 61, and I'm not going to read that whole passage to you, but I did put the reference on your note sheet, so read it this week. But starting in verse 14, it's on the screen, it should be, it says, "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth," remember where he was born, "and where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, and as was custom, he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written," which is from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogues were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, I started thinking about this a little bit. I'm thinking, let's think about the scenario here a little. This is Jesus' hometown. These people knew him, know him. They've been hearing about the amazing things he's been doing. But they're thinking, Joseph's son? Joseph and Mary's son? The carpenter dude? You know, I mean, he's the one out doing it. And he comes back in for a little visit. And he gets up, and not only does he read this amazing passage of scripture from Isaiah, but then he's so bold here. In verse 21, the last verse there, he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Think about the guts of that statement. I mean, Jesus, the thing I love about Jesus, he didn't struggle with people pleasing at all. As human beings, we do, don't we? I mean, we struggle with, what are they going to think of me? Jesus obviously had no issues with that. I mean, he just got up and did it. He proclaimed it. He said it. Unless he said, "Listen, I am the one who's fulfilled this." But what I love here is he came in the power of the Spirit, didn't it? It said he was power of the Spirit. He came. What did he come to do? Here's his resume. It was in verse 18. "Preach good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Wow. Awesome. Do you realize that's actually our call too, as his kingdom ambassadors, that we're actually called to do those same things? And this is so good because really, if we narrowed it down into three things that he was doing here, the first one is what Jesus brought, three vital things. He brought truth, first and foremost. He is the truth, actually. This is truth right here. It's written right here in the Word of God. Jesus brought truth. The enemy, Satan, he brings the opposite. It's important to think about these things when you're filtering things in your life. He brought the opposite of truth, doubt and deception. Right? But look at John 14:6 and John 8:32. It says, Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This whole issue of truth is so challenging because in our world, we live in a world where the proclamation is relativism. Everything is relative. You know, if it's good for you, great. If it's good for you, great. There really are no absolutes. It's so interesting. We could preach all on that right there. But it's so interesting that if you make a statement like, well, life is relative, there are no absolutes, do you realize that's an absolute statement? That doesn't make much. That's kind of a weak argument to say, well, there are absolutely no absolutes. Really? Right? But Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. And truth is what people are hungry for, actually. And it, you know, I've been thinking about Mark Driscoll lately. Thinking, why is it that Mark Driscoll's so popular? I mean, he's a big pastor over in Seattle. You know, one thing that Shelley and I were talking about, one thing about Mark Driscoll is the guy doesn't pull any punches. There's no gray in Mark Driscoll. He just lays it out. He just basically says, this is the truth. You should believe it. And he's not afraid to be controversial. He's not afraid to step on people's toes. He's always willing to make opportunities for forgiveness. And my understanding is he's always having to apologize and ask for forgiveness all the time to his congregation, to the media, to everybody. But he's not afraid to do that. He's not afraid to say what's in the scripture. Wow. You got to admire that, don't you? You got to admire that. Jesus was like that. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to get up in front of all those religious leaders in his hometown and all the other people who knew him and say, this is what I was called to do. It's been fulfilled. I am the fulfillment of these things. And I mean, you had to think, what were the people doing where they're like, oh my gosh, no way. The carpenter's son? Jesus? The guy we saw skin his knee back in 82? You know, I don't know which 82, but anyway. So Jesus brought truth. The second thing he brought is he brought reconciliation. Imagine two brothers. He brought reconciliation. Imagine two brothers. And I think if you can, you don't have to think very far in your own life or examine very far to know about issues where there's a battle between people who care about each other at one point. Brothers, spouses, friends. They get in an argument. They have a disagreement. They can't resolve the disagreement. And so their relationship, as it stands, begins to distance. And separation begins to mount. And eventually the friendship, the relationship that they had, they don't talk, they don't communicate. It's distant, distant, distant. And there's no engagement at all. I mean, think about just in your own life how many scenarios like that you know of. And the thing that's gonna, if that relationship gets brought back together, and it's done in a healthy way, that's reconciliation. There is a broken separation. And by some means, ultimately, in this case, Jesus was the one who brought reconciliation for the broken relationship that we had with the Father. And if you look at 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, it answers this. It was our sin, wasn't it, that alienated us from the Father? It was that sin separates us from our perfect God. The God we know, God in his love for us, gave Jesus as the one who could bring reconciliation. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. It says, declares, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, you and me. What did he give us? The ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He gave us the ministry and the message of reconciliation. Not only so that we can operate and see that happen in our own lives and our own relationships, obviously this ministry of reconciliation that we can be reconciled to our Creator, first and foremost. But also that because of that relationship, we then can be reconciled with each other. And so that ministry of reconciliation is so key. And then the third thing that Jesus brought was freedom. Truth, reconciliation, and freedom. And this freedom, and the opposite of freedom, is death and destruction. And that's what the enemy loves to bring. Slowly or quickly, death and destruction is what he brings. But Jesus brought freedom. And we're called to do the same. Jesus was not afraid to confront the spiritual, the emotional, the mental, the demonic issues in people's lives. He was not afraid to do that. And that was part of the freedom that he brought, that he's then given to us. So as his ambassadors of good news, freedom is something we are supposed to take with us, own it, and then deliver it. Truth, reconciliation, and freedom. And so Acts 10:38, look at this. It says, this is from the NIV. It says, Peter, this is when Peter is telling Cornelius how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit again and power. So Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good, and what? Healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Sometimes it's sad that we sometimes don't like to even say devil or Satan or the enemy. We're like, should you say that in church? Yes. You should talk about the enemy. You don't want to give him too much airtime, but it's important to recognize that there is a devil. There is an enemy. And his job, he's already been defeated and he knows that, but he's just trying to take as many people with him as he can. And so he sows lies and doubt. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to bring depression to you. He comes to get you so inward focused that you don't think about anybody else but yourself. He comes to get you so consumed with your own problems that you forget that you are actually a kingdom ambassador called to bring truth, reconciliation, and freedom to not only to your own family, but to the world around you where you live, your neighbors, your coworkers, this community. And if he can, as a believer in Christ, if he can get you to be so focused on yourself that you forget about that part of your mission, that kingdom mission, man, he loves that. He's like, I might not be able to get them, but if I can keep them from being effective, yes. I'm winning partially. And my hope for myself and for you is that we grab hold, that we actually, as flawed as we are, he didn't ask us to be perfect to be his ambassadors. He said, I mean, Jesus covers it for us, right? And he said, but I've called you to do this. And so John 14:12, look at that. It's on the screen. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Let's just look at that again, because this is one powerful passage, you guys. If you really start to think about what Jesus did, and he actually says, we're supposed to, you, Linda, you, Rod, I mean, Cliff, you, Claire, Nori, I mean, Dwayne, I mean, we're actually called to do. Let's just start with the first one. Do what I've been doing. The greater things is like, holy smokes, greater? I mean, let's just talk about what he was doing and what he did. Let's talk about it. Let me give you a list. I got one page succinct list. Jesus was dealing with illnesses. Okay, because what I could do is do this. Jesus did great, cool stuff and miracles and was awesome. All right, sweet. But no, I'm going to give you a list. He heals the man with leprosy. An army officer's servant he heals. Peter's mother-in-law and many others. Several paralyzed people. Two blind men. More than that, actually. A lot of blind men, but two in one setting in Matthew 9. A man with a withered hand. He doesn't care which withered part it is. He'll take care of it, all right? Withering is not a problem for him. Multiple blind men are healed. A woman with the crippling condition. 10 lepers are healed. An official's son. A paralyzed man at the pool. Another man born blind. How does he deal with nature? Those are just a few illnesses that he dealt with. How does he deal with nature? He calmed the storm. He fed multiple thousands of people in a couple different settings with a few fishes and loaves. He walked on water, stilled the storm again, a net full of fish. They cast them out. They began to break. You remember that? He turned water into wine at a wedding. That was the first big miracle. He dealt with evil spirits. Remember the guy at the graveyard? He was just crazy. God delivered him. A man who couldn't speak because he was demonized. The men at the synagogue at Capernaum. He dealt with death. He canceled one funeral because the guy was raised from the dead, the mother's son. Then there's the whole Lazarus incident. I mean, he wasn't just dead. He wasn't just mostly dead. He was completely dead for a few days there. So he didn't just say, oh, you know, he's freshly dead. I'm going to get him raised from the dead. No, there was no question in the people's mind. This guy was fully dead. And he raises him from the grave. And then look, I don't have this on the screen, but John 20, 30 to 31 says this: Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. I'm just reading you just a smidgen of them. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So, if we just start with the first part, you will do, put that back up there. Would you leave that scripture back up, please? Do what I have been doing. There you go. And you might go, well, Kevin, that makes me uncomfortable. Good. I'm sorry. I mean, it makes me uncomfortable too. I mean, but here's the point. The point of this is these things were not so that we could ooh and ah over the miraculousness of them. I mean, they are amazing, you guys. I want to see more miracles, more signs and wonders. I do. Why? Not so I can go, I pray for that guy and his blind eyes were open. That is fantastic. I mean, that is fantastic. But what's the point of the blind eyes being open? It just points to the greater reality that Jesus is real, that he is alive, and that truth and reconciliation and freedom are available, and that he wants those who do not know him to know him personally. Signs and wonders and miracles and people being set free from demonic oppression. I mean, I've even seen that personally. I prayed for people who are demonized and seen them set free. Not a lot, but a few times. It's crazy. It's wild. But people, not everybody is demon possessed, but there are a few. And they're messed up. And they need Jesus bad. They need an encounter with the living God. And we can put blinders on and go, I don't believe in that. Well, okay, but you're walking in total ignorance, you know? I mean, just travel a little bit. If you can't find them here, go someplace where it's a little more widely accepted. They're messed up. They're, you know, even people who don't believe in Jesus recognize there's people who are possessed, okay? So, you know, but it's not everybody. But the point is this, is that when we do what Jesus did, people come into relationship with Jesus because they experience truth and reconciliation and freedom. And are you tired? I'm tired of seeing people bound and just bound up and hurting. I mean, Christians, first and foremost, I'm tired of seeing them bound up and hurting. But those who don't know Jesus, they have no hope without him. They're trying, basically all they're doing is medicating themselves. They're just trying to get through. We actually have the doctor, the healer, the one who can bring the solution. I don't even want to go to the next one because it says we'll even do greater things. I don't know what that is. I'm thinking, I'd be happy, God, with the first part. I mean, let's just go for that. Let's just start there. I mean, your resume is amazing, Jesus. But I'm happy just to do what you were doing. But what I love is that he says we'll do even greater things. Wow. The cool news is that we can't do it, obviously, on our own. I mean, I love that we're incapable in our own strength. We can't do this stuff. And you know that, and I know that. And that's why we pray those prayers, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, because it does see, I mean, there's people in this room right here that you've been sick, you're chronically ill. I want to see you healed, and I don't get it. I don't get why some people don't. I don't get it. But I'm not God. But I'm going to obey. I want to pray for people that are sick, and I'm going to believe for them. God knows, he's the healer, not us, okay? The fill-in is, we are his ambassadors called to do what he did and even greater things. And I want you to think about that. As his kingdom ambassadors, we are called to do what he did and even greater things. I think you need to write that in your journal this week or put it in your Bible, and you just need to say, Jesus, help me believe that. Help me to believe that you've actually called me to do what you did and even greater things. I can't imagine that, God. Some of us have experienced some of it, but we're barely scratching the surface, you guys. Wow. Truth, reconciliation, and freedom. When it comes to investing in people that are hurting and broken, when it comes to investing in bringing bringing healing and bringing truth and bringing freedom and bringing those who are oppressed, that freedom in Christ, there's so many ways we can do that. There are many, many ways. But I want to talk to you right now. I want to just talk to you a little bit about an opportunity that we have that I'm totally excited about, you guys. Totally excited about this. And I want to roll this out to you a little bit because you're the River City family. And I need to talk to you about what we're thinking, what we're doing. We've kind of been dropping a few hints here and there. But I'm totally excited because you guys know our vision is this. It's to change the world for Jesus, right? How? One person at a time. Every person matters. And that is a bold thing to say, this little congregation in Lewiston can change the world for Jesus. Well, it is happening. Change is happening all around the world, even through this little congregation. Recognizing that we're partnering with the believers in this community as well as around the world, right? We just want to do what God's given us to do. We want to steward that well. And so how do we do that? You know, for us, our primary entry point for people that are unchurched, our primary entry point is you, actually. You out there in the community connecting with people, right? You're the ambassadors, the kingdom ambassadors out there. But when it comes to how do we gather people and get them in the same place, it's Sunday mornings. And this is a conservative enough community that still Sunday mornings, when people think church, they think Sunday mornings. Let's go to church Sunday mornings. And so we get, just so you know, now realizing this is Labor Day weekend, this is probably the lowest number Sunday, as Ryan mentioned. And if you come to this service on a regular basis, this is our smallest service, just so you know. Because I'm going to talk a little bit about numbers and things like that, and so you might be looking around going, we got tons of room. What are you talking about? Look at this, you know. And we have some room in this service, we do. But if you ever go to the 11:15 service, we don't have any room, actually. We're breaking all the odds, all the stats. But our primary entry point is Sunday mornings. People, it's amazing. We get 10 to 20 first-time visitors a week still at River City Church. Now you think, well, that sounds like a lot. Do you realize how many people that is? That's 500 to 1,000 people a year that come through these doors. This is a scary building. This is the most religious-looking building. We love this building. It's paid for. We love it. But it's scary. The doors are scary. You walk up to this place, you can't see inside. I mean, you walk in, you go, this is, you know, you know, there's no foyer. There's no space. It's pretty tight. This service, you can move around a little bit, but you come to the 11:15 and walk in here, and it's like, you're like, excuse me. You know, it's like being at the old Walmart and shopping. You remember that? Like, excuse me. You know, and then you're backing up. You know, and we have that problem here. And as Americans, this is an issue. If we were in India, it wouldn't be an issue. We'd just sit on the floor, be no problem. We'd get 15,000 people in this room right here if we were in India. But we're not, okay? Unfortunately, we're not. And so our goal isn't just to get a lot of people here on Sunday, but our goal is to change the world for Jesus, which means as we gather people, we want them to experience the living Christ, truth, reconciliation, and freedom. And as they become disciples of His, we want to help them get healthy. Healthy disciples that are out reproducing too, that are out sharing the good news. They're preaching the good news. They're preaching truth and reconciliation and freedom. And so Sunday really is our biggest draw. And we have been in this service, just so you know, like summertime, just so you know, summertime is always lower. Everybody's vacationing, everybody's out. There's always space in the summer. There's always space in the summer. It's just the way it works. But the end of, in the spring, up till May, we were running up close to 70% capacity in this service. 170 to 190 people. Just depends on the Sunday. There's 318 seats in this auditorium. And in the second service, we were running 90 to 100 20% capacity. Now, by U.S. statistics, if you're at 70%, people stop coming to your church. That's amazing. Why? Because we're heavier? No. Because we're bigger, we need more space. You know, you walk in, you just need more space. People come in and they go, wow, there's no room for me here. This place is full. That's sad. So what's amazing is, as River City Church, we've been defying the odds. We've been beating the odds in a sense, especially in the 11:15 service, because we have 300 up, you know, 275 to 360 in that service. That's amazing. I mean, people standing around. Now, that's including kids. Includes all of them. But the point is this, is that when you walk in this place, if you're a first timer, we know there's room for everybody. We got life groups. We got tons of room to put people in life groups. Come be a part, right? But when you walk in here, what's the message that we're sending to the first timer? No vacancy. That is the message. In our heart, we're friendly. We want you. We want you to be a part. But you walk in this place and the instant message you get is no vacancy. There's no room for me. They're full up here. And so that's a bummer, but that's exciting. These are good problems, right? I'm totally excited about these good problems. And so what's our long-term vision? Is our long-term vision to have, to grow a really, really big church? Is that a long-term vision? No. May it happen? It might. The vision is this. We have a crisis. 30,000 plus people, conservative estimates in our community, Lewiston, Clarkston, Assotin, Pomeroy, Cul-de-sac. If we take those communities, conservative estimates, over 30,000 people that are unchurched, hurting, broken, far from God. That's my heart. Let's go for them. There's always transfer growth. That always happens. But you guys, we have to make space. We have to have the vacancy sign up all the time that says, we have room for you. Seriously. Because if we don't, we not only need it corporately as a congregation, but we need it individually in our hearts, don't we? And so how are we going to do that? Starting on October 17th, we are going to launch another service. And we're going to launch that on Sunday mornings. This is amazing. Okay, and I'll explain how it's going to work. You're going to have all kinds of questions in your heads, but just write them down. Don't throw them out at me right now, okay? At 10:15, we're going to have another service. Can that work? 9, 10, 15, 11, 15? But it isn't going to be here. It's going to be at the college. And we're totally excited about this. Silverthorn Theater, it's in the admin building. We're going to launch a service there at 10:15. And so let me just show you that. Let's show that, Jackie. I'm going to take you on a little walk from here to there, just so you know where it's at. That's our front doors, beautiful. That's our sign, thank you. That's our pillar. All right, we're at A, and Silverthorn Theater is right over here where the arrow is pointing. Okay, all right, go to the next one. Those are our front steps. That's someone walking. That's the Lewis Clark State College sign. All right, thank you. We're walking down by Congo Prez there. There's the admin building. Thank you. There's the front doors. Ah, the theater. Okay, whoa, slow down. Look at that. Beautiful. Okay, go to the next one. Great stage. 274 seats in that place. And you know what's awesome about that? That's 274 seats. That's 274 people. That's 274 people in our community. My heart is not 274 people in other churches that will come here. That's not my heart. That shouldn't be your heart. Our heart should be, let's reach the people that need truth, reconciliation, and freedom that don't yet know it. Those who are far from God, those who are broken and hurting, that are out there, the 30,000 plus. Every church in this community, my heart is that every church, this is a kingdom heart, is that every church in this community that's preaching Jesus would bust at the seams, that they would have constant issues with, we don't have enough space because the lost are coming in. You guys, that's my heart. I was thinking about this. I'm thinking, if there was 30 churches that were really preaching Jesus, which I don't know if there are, I haven't done the math, but that's 1,000 apiece. There's plenty of people to go around. Plenty, all right? We don't need all the, I mean, transfer growth happens. It's just there, but my heart isn't that. My heart is, let's go for the people who don't yet know God. Let's get them. Let's go for them. Let's be his ambassadors out there. Right? And so I'm excited about this. I mean, the campus alone, there's 3,000, conservatively about 3,000 students, I guess, on the campus, plus staff, faculty. What we love about the campus is that it's neutral ground. It's not a church. It's not a church building. It has very cushy seats. Now, I know that's going to be a challenge for some of you because you love these seats. Lyndall Stoughton, he loves these seats. I mean, he is totally into these seats. Now, some of us have more cushion than others, and so we don't mind this. Like, for me, these seats feel comfortable. But if you're, you know, if you have a problem with that, you know, we never know. Some people bring cushions, but that works too. So we're excited. Really, what we're going to do is two things. We're going to launch the service on the 17th. The other thing that we want to do, and there's really two phases to this, is we want to do some renovation here in this building. We love this building. It's built in 24, but we'd like to take these back rooms, and we'd like to renovate those, and we'd like to add some seating back here. Tighten up things, add some ministry displays, put some nice seats back here, because we can get a few more. We can get about 40 more chairs back here, which is amazing to think about. And we'd like to remodel the bathrooms. Ooh, they're terrible. You know, these things are from the 70s, you know. And, yeah, everybody was happy about that. The challenge with that, all that stuff takes money. And you guys and myself, we're the ones who bring the money in by God's blessing. We steward it. So if we were to do both phases, we're talking about $120,000. And I'll give you just a quick rundown on what that. But the renovation is about $40,000 if we were going to do that. But that's going to be phase two. We're not going to focus on that right now. But in the next year, we'd like to do both of those things if we could. But the first thing we want to focus on, because it's for minimal financial investment, we're going to get the maximum opportunity for growth, is the Silverthorne service at the college service. And so that's going to be about $75,000 to do that. And here's the thing. The cool thing about that is most of that is just a one-time cost. Because they don't have sound equipment that can handle what we do, so we have to buy sound equipment. That's the largest percentage of the cost. We have to have a trailer to put that in. We're going to have to set up and tear down that sound equipment every Sunday. And that has some opportunities attached to it, opportunities for setup crew, tear down crews, and so we're excited about that, actually. We need instruments over there, amps, and that kind of thing. That's the major portion. The operational costs or the ongoing costs are very minimal. Actually, it's an incredibly good deal. Total cost for, you know, more copies and bulletins and all that stuff is less than $800 a month, the ongoing cost. And that's incredible. You can't rent a space, any other space in this community, for that alone. But I'm including insurance, a place to put the trailer, I mean, all that stuff, because we're going to have storage, the sound equipment in a trailer. We got to have a good place to store it that's secure, all those things. So I'm not going to go down through all that list, but we're going to be challenging you to help us come up with that $75,000. In the next couple weeks. I mean, what we're going to do is next week I'm going to talk about this again because we know a lot of people wouldn't be here today. And on the 12th, we'll talk about it again, and we'll have a commitment card in there. So there's two opportunities to invest, is your time and finances. And what we love is this, is that no vacancy sign that appears to be flashing, it really isn't true, is we want to have more opportunities for people to serve, to lead, and if we add a service, we're going to need that. We're going to need you. There's many of you that are overcommitted, and you need to cut back. And there's many of you who aren't doing much, and you need to step up, right, in your time. And you may feel unqualified. Not a problem. We'll help you, okay? And so we're going to be challenging in the next few weeks. I just want you to know, on the 19th of September, that's kind of going to be the commitment Sunday. And I'm just going to challenge you to pray now about it and say, God, how do you want me to invest in this thing? With my time? And with my finances. I just want you to talk to God about it. I'm not going to high pressure you. I don't want to do that. I don't have any illusion that I can manipulate you to give money. Okay? That's not me. I don't want to do that anyway. But I'm just letting you know the need and the opportunity. And it's not about growing River City Church. It's about growing and reaching the people out there that don't know Him. Okay? That's my heart. So you might say, well, Kevin, what about long term? What are you thinking? We're open. I mean, we've done the due diligence on many things. We've looked at Walmart. We've done all the due diligence on Walmart. If God wanted us to have a Walmart building, is that the goal? A box store like that? No, that's not the goal. The goal is to reach the community. If God wants us to, and provides the money to buy a Walmart building and redo it, if we can use it to reach the community, then awesome. But we got a lot of steps before that happens. And this is one space step that we can take. It's the maximum, really, it's awesome. It's the maximum growth opportunity for very minimal investment, and we love that. We want to be financially wise that way. Okay, so we're stoked about that. So I just want to challenge you. Would you just be praying? Praying for us, praying for the church here, praying that we just all the details come together, praying about how God wants you to invest. And you guys, I'm excited. I'm stirred up about this because I really want to reach people. More people. We're reaching people now. And that's why we have this problem. This good problem, that's an opportunity. And so here's how I want to challenge you is what sign is your life displaying? Is it displaying vacancy or no vacancy? Are you available? First of all, are you available to God? And then are you available to others? And just as I was walking down that street thinking to my, I wasn't even thinking. I was just tuned out. I was tuned in, tuned out. I wasn't thinking about the fact that the message I was sending to this man who was across the street was, hey, I don't have time for you, man. I don't even want to be friendly. But that's the message I was sending. I thought, man, that is not my heart, God. And I think, what a wake-up call for me. And so on the back of your note sheet, would you do this? First and foremost, we recognize that prayer has to fuel everything we do, everything God wants us to do. And here's personally how I want you to pray this week. I'd really, would you just write big five, write the big five on the back of your note sheet somewhere. And I want you to, this week, and do it in the next couple days would be good, actually. I'd like you to write down five people that you know, at least to the best of your knowledge, are hurting, broken, or far from God. And I want you just to start praying for them. Just start praying. Praying for opportunities. Pray for their lives. Pray that they'd be open to what God wants to do in their life. Just begin to invest in them in prayer. Pray that they'd be open and receptive to what God wants to do. And then we will, as we move closer to this launch, we will, of course, we'll give you some tools, ways to invite people, challenge you to do that. And not just to invite them to the service at the college, but to invite them to any service, okay? We don't care. We want them all to grow. We do. And we know that in this service, we can grow some. And so if you come to this is the service you'd probably invite people to, obviously. Awesome. So would you stand with me and let's close in prayer here together. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that as kingdom ambassadors, you've given us the ministry of reconciliation. You've called us to be the deliverers of truth. You've called us to be your hands and your feet and to bring freedom to the captives. And so, Lord, I pray you would ramp up our boldness, God, where we are just shy and timid and where we are unconfident. God, would you infuse us with confidence and would you empower us with your Holy Spirit? Because, Lord, we recognize we can't conjure that up. We need to be empowered with your Spirit, the Holy Spirit that can give us the power and to be witnesses, the power to be deliverers of truth, reconciliation, and freedom. And Lord, as we even are pondering as a church family this opportunity that lies before us, Lord, it's change, but Lord, it's good change. It's change that means we're going to reach the people in the community that don't know you yet. That's what we want to do. And so, Lord, would you start to even stir on our hearts people we can pray for, people we can invest in prayer. And we just and eventually, Lord, that we'll invite them to come and be a part even of a service at River City. But Lord, more than that, we just want them to know you. And so, Lord, if you use a service like this to draw someone into you, awesome. If you just use a one-on-one conversation, fantastic. Lord, and we want to pray for the church in the valley, Lord. We pray for the body of Christ across this community. Would you begin to pour out on every congregation? Would you draw those who are far from you in, Lord? Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this community, Lord. And we're glad to be a part of it. And God, we want to be those who are kingdom ambassadors that are going for it. And so, Jesus, help us to make sure that our sign that's on our life says vacancy. That it is sending the message that we're available. We have room for you. We love you. We want to know you. Because I know that's your sign. There's room. Lord, I pray you bless each person here. Give them a great week. Empower them. Let them go out strong. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, we got people that will be here to pray for you. If you don't yet know Jesus, we'd love to pray with you about that too. Talk to you more about him. Have a great week.